This is Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your aviation briefing for April 15th, 2026. We've got a lot to cover today, from the first look at something truly historic out of the Air Force, to legislation that could change the way we talk about what's going on between our headsets. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, lead story. The United States Air Force just gave us our first real look at the B-21 Raider during aerial refueling tests, and this one's worth your attention. Yesterday, April 14th, the Air Force publicly confirmed that the B-21 has conducted aerial refueling operations from a KC-135 Stratotanker as part of its ongoing flight test program. And for the first time, they released photos showing the upper side of this aircraft. Here's what you need to know. We've seen the B-21 from below. We've seen it from the front, but the top-down view during a tanker rendezvous, that's new. And what it reveals is a remarkably clean, blended wing design. This thing looks like it was shaped by the wind itself. The surface continuity, the lack of protruding features on the upper fuselage, all of it speaks to a radar cross-section that Northrop Grumman clearly spent years refining. Now, why does this matter beyond the obvious cool factor? Aerial refueling is one of those test milestones that tells you an aircraft program is maturing. You're not just flying the jet, you're flying it in close formation with a tanker, managing a boom connection, dealing with the aerodynamic interactions between two very different aircraft. It's a confidence marker. It says the flight envelope is expanding and the Air Force is getting closer to operational capability. For those of you in the general aviation world wondering why you should care about a strategic bomber, think about it this way. The technologies developed for programs like the B-21 eventually filter into the broader aerospace ecosystem. Composite structures, advanced avionics architectures, low observable coatings. These programs push the state of the art, and that state of the art eventually touches everything from business jets to the materials in your next aircraft panel. The B-21 is being developed and tested primarily out of Edwards Air Force Base in California, and the Air Force has said it plans to field the aircraft at Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota, Whiteman in Missouri, and Dias in Texas. If you fly anywhere near those areas in the coming years, don't be surprised if you start hearing some unusual call signs on the frequency. Let's shift gears now to something that hits much closer to home for every pilot listening. Bipartisan legislation addressing pilot mental health is moving forward in Congress, and the headline from AeroTime calls it what it is. Dismantling a dangerous culture of silence, this affects you if you hold a medical certificate. And that's all of us. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here. For decades, pilots have faced an impossible choice. Seek help for depression, anxiety, or other mental health conditions and risk losing your medical. Or stay quiet and fly. We all know which option most pilots have chosen, and we all know that's not safe. This legislation, which has received support from both sides of the aisle, aims to change the regulatory framework so that seeking treatment is not career-ending. The details are still being worked through, but the direction is clear. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, would need to modernize how it evaluates mental health conditions during the medical certification process. The goal is to create pathways where a pilot can get help, demonstrate fitness to fly, and keep their certificate. Now, I want to be measured here. Legislative progress doesn't mean this is law yet. And the FAA's implementation of any new rules will matter enormously. The devil is always in the details with medical certification. But the fact that Congress is moving on this with bipartisan support is significant. It reflects a shift in how the aviation community is talking about mental health, and that shift has been a long time coming. If you're a pilot dealing with something, keep watching this space. And regardless of where the legislation ends up, talk to your aviation medical examiner. Talk to someone. The culture is changing, and it needs to. Moving on to the airline world, Airbus held its 2026 annual general meeting yesterday in Amsterdam, and shareholders approved all resolutions, including a significant leadership change. Alberto Morleta has been tapped as the next board chair, succeeding René Obermann, who is preparing his exit from the role. For those of you watching the commercial aviation industry, leadership transitions at Airbus matter because Airbus is not just a manufacturer. It's a bellwether for the global aviation supply chain. Whoever sits in the chair influences production rate decisions, supplier relationships, and strategic direction on next-generation aircraft programs. Morleta's background and priorities will become clearer in the months ahead, but this is a transition worth watching. Speaking of Airbus, here's a fun one. There's a double-decker seating concept called chaise longue that's been making the rounds at the Aircraft Interiors Expo, or AIX, 2026. The idea is a two-level cabin design that could offer business-class comfort at economy prices, and the designers are targeting the Airbus A350 as the platform. Before you get too excited or too skeptical, Let me frame this properly. Concepts like this show up at aviation trade shows regularly. Most of them never make it past the prototype stage. The certification challenges alone for a two-level passenger seating arrangement would be enormous: emergency egress, structural loads, accessibility requirements. But the fact that designers keep pushing on cabin innovation tells you something about where the industry thinks the pressure points are. Passengers want more comfort. Airlines want more revenue per square foot. If someone cracks that equation, it changes the game. And while we're talking about aircraft that shape the industry, Simple Flying put together an interesting piece on six aircraft that fundamentally changed airline economics. I won't run through all six, but the concept is worth thinking about. Every few decades, an aircraft comes along that doesn't just fly routes. It rewrites the business model. The Boeing 707 opened the jet age. The 747 made long-haul travel accessible. The 737 and A320 made short-haul profitable at scale. These weren't just engineering achievements, they were economic inflection points. Next time you're looking at a new aircraft program, ask yourself, does this just fly, or does this change who can afford to fly and where? And rounding things out, Singapore Airlines continues to operate the Airbus A380 on its longest routes, while other carriers have retired the Super Jumbo. Singapore sees value in the A380's passenger capacity and cabin product on ultra-long-haul missions. It's a reminder that the right aircraft for the right mission still matters more than following industry trends. A lesson that applies just as well at the general aviation level. Fly what works for your mission. All right, that's your briefing for today. Today's stories were sourced from The Aviationist, Aerotime, and Simple Flying Radio. Hangar is an AI-generated aviation broadcast built by pilots who care about keeping you informed. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Whatever you're flying today, fly it well. We'll be back with more Radio Hangar. Clear skies and tailwinds.